This is Telling Your Story with Stephen Murray, the Director of Communications at Houston's First Baptist Church. This is on.
What's on? Ready to record.
Uh-oh. What's on this?
This microphone.
That's recorded me talking right now.
Oh,
hi.
So I just,
Debbie's awesome.
No private.
Just be kind, yeah.
No private conversations here.
Right. No, yeah, for sure.
You know.
Do you know how I switch this over to me? Any idea?
I have no clue.
We have a tech person.
You
right?
Work here.
Well, I don't have to do that, though. I'm not a tech guy.
All right, okay. Let me see if I can find him.
Okay.
Like I said, there's a remote right there. I don't know if that's going to be helpful.
There's
jet.
One on this side, too. Let me call him.
This is going to be so easy. You have the... I don't know where that screen's coming from.
Nothing? Are you an HDMI? Oh, yeah, you're an HDMI. Okay, sure. Just rotate it through.
So, Wilson's...
Yes, so one of the kids, like, showed up late. It was Colby. So Colby walks in and Wilson goes, "Colby's home!" And Colby goes, "This isn't home." And Wilson was like, "Pretty much." I was, like, dying.
That's awesome. Yeah, pretty much.
You got it set?
Yeah, he did. He helped me work it out.
At the end, we have a gift card to give away.
Okay.
I think it'd be better at the end, or you want to do it at the beginning. It's up to you.
Okay.
Okay.
Be sure to remind me if I forget.
Okay. Do you want me to do a 5 or 10 minute warning?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay, 10 and
sure.
Then 5.
Yeah. Be great.
All right.
You?
I'll do that at the gift card at the end.
Okay.
So I gotta figure out who's gonna, how we're gonna give it.
Great. Thank you.
No worries. Do you need anything? You need water? Anything?
Water would be great.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
You're welcome. Do you want two or just one?
Oh, that's one's great. Thank you. I'm the only thing between y'all and cinnamon rolls.
That's a dangerous place to be.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. I'm going to run late and drag it out. Oh, thanks. I have like 3 name tags on now. Man, you should know who I am.
Yeah. Get on the screen and then around your neck.
Do what?
Good name.
Yeah, thanks. Are you Steven? Awesome. Can you spell it right?
Yes.
Good. It's biblical, but not quite, right?
But it sounds like how it's spelled.
Exactly. Exactly.
You don't pronounce it Z.
No, right. Well, good evening, everybody. I have 10:31, so I'm going to go ahead and get started, especially since this recorder apparently is already going. So for the record, I'm starting on time. let me go ahead and just open up with a word of prayer, and then we will dive right in. Heavenly Father, Lord, we praise you, Lord, for the stories you're telling in each of our lives, Lord. God, we praise you for the best story ever told, the greatest story ever told, Lord, and we praise you for how each of our lives are just a mere reflection of that, Lord. What an honor and privilege and blessing it is to be that. God, I pray that tonight, Lord, you would speak through me, Lord, as I myself figure out how all of this works in telling of stories and using stories, Lord. I pray, God, that I could just share experience and share thoughts and share ideas that we've had and just impart that to this fine group of men and women, Lord, who are serving in our church. God, I pray that, as Ben said earlier, each one of us would just find a nugget, something that we would take away. If it's not everything that's said, Lord, if it's just one thing that's said that could lead them just to make a change, a difference, to have some sort of an impact in their class. God, just speak through me, Lord. I just thank you for these men and women for serving our church, who've given up a night to be here, who've given up so many hours throughout the week to serve their classes, Lord. We just praise you for tonight and for a church that takes the time to invest in its people like this. In your son's name we pray, amen. Well, good evening, everybody. My name is Stephen Murray, and I'm the Director of Communications here at the church. Actually, next week, 10th anniversary. Been on staff a decade. What is happening? So it's been amazing 10 years, and things have clearly evolved in the 10 years since I've been on staff, not only for the church, but just how we communicate things. So I've loved the fact that when they I don't even think who it was, I think it may have been Don Mutton, our singles minister, and called and asked if I would teach at Midnight Madness. I'm like, sure. And then like a couple days later, they sent me the title. I'm like, all right, well, then I guess that's what I'm speaking on. But fortunately, it's something that I love, and I'm thrilled. I probably would have picked this anyway if they had asked me, what do I want to teach on? We're going to talk tonight about telling our stories and using our testimonies in our life Bible studies and in other settings. And so I'm thrilled to talk about that, and you'll see why in just a little bit. But I hope that tonight, as we go through this and talk about this, that you'll find at least, some way that you can take what we talk about and use it in your classes. I'm going to take a quick poll here. How many of you are the teachers in your life Bible study classes? I see I see one that kind of admits it over here. Yes. But you have your difference maker shirt on, so that makes you totally legit. And you're a co-teacher. What about directors? We got directors in here? All right. What other roles we have represented in here tonight? Admin stuff? Okay, excellent.
Thinking about being growth.
All right, awesome. This is for prospective people, so love it. Yes, sir.
Wednesday night to Midland.
Oh, very good. Very good.
Intramurals.
Very nice. You look like intramurals. I mean, you got the hoodie, you got the cap on, you're ready to play something right now. All right, well, I love it that there's, I love it. I love the, anybody here, who all, let's see, we got the Loop represented, I know. Any other campuses represented here? All right, way to go, Cypress. Did you bring any eggs or fresh produce on your way in? No? Okay.
Sorry,
every time I see Swigert here at the Loop, I'm like, what'd you bring? Did you bring me any? Farm fresh eggs from the country.
Siena?
Yeah, from the country. Somebody here from Siena? Oh, yeah, you're from Siena. Very good. Welcome. Sweet. All right, well, so tonight, let me tell you what we're not going to talk about. Just to make sure, just in case you're waiting for that slide to come, it's not going to come. We're not going to talk tonight about how to deliver a story, okay? Like how to how to speak, how to stand, eye contact, things. We're not going to talk about that tonight. We're not going to talk about necessarily how to write out a story. You know, the missions office here, the missions office here, and if I went and, I think if I raided that armoire down there, I could find them for you, the little booklets about telling your story.
Yeah.
We passed those out several months ago, and Pastor Greg talked about that, little booklets about how to document and write out your salvation story, which is important for everyone to do, and yes, please do that. But we're not going to talk about that tonight, okay? We're going to talk about stories and how to use those, and you'll see what I mean in terms of bringing the biblical truths that you're talking about, the biblical truths that you're teaching, the whatever initiatives, whatever things are going on in your class, using people's stories to bring those truths to life and to, truths to life and to point people in that direction, okay? I'm going to, I'm using a different tool that I haven't used, but now I'm figuring it out. All right, there's something here that I want to play, and I don't know if I have sound connected, so I may just have to crank up my laptop. There's a video here. I've used this before with our welcome team greeters and ushers because I want them to recognize and realize that everybody that walks into this building has a story. Now, at a church of our size, and some of your life Bible studies are big. I used to be, back in the day when I was in the singles ministry, I was the director of a singles class for a while, and then I taught a class. And, you know, the class that I was director of, you know, it was big. I mean, and I say big, I think it was Shannon giving the thumbs up. David, you can give the thumbs up. I have a couple of former folks from that class. I mean, there, you know, it's, I don't know, 75 or 80 people on a good Sunday. And that's gets big.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's big. Yeah, you know, especially if you're trying to have do what now?
That's near congregations.
Out. That's right. It could be congregation in some places. And so it's real easy in that sort of setting to see the forest but not the individual trees, right? And so this video here I want to show is one that I think just does a wonderful job of reminding us. You know, Pastor Greg has used this phrase before that when we see people, we can see them in one of three ways. We can see them as scenery. You go to the mall and you're surrounded by hundreds of people. You see that there's people there, but you don't see them. They're machinery. They're checking you out at Chick-fil-A. They're pumping your gas. If anybody does that, you know, you're picking up your dry cleaning from them, whatever it might be, or their ministry, and kind of what sort of eyes you use when you see people. And so I want to show you this because I think it puts in perspective as to really how we should see folks. There's no words other than music, so if you can't hear, don't worry. Thank you. point am I showing you that? You know, it worked for the welcome team. We wanted to emphasize when you see all these people walking in, we want to make sure, you know, don't just think you're just walking them into the building, move them on, get them to a class, right? Where are they coming from? They've got something. Who knows what they are wearing, you know, when they come into this place. They could be happy as a clam and life's going awesome, you know, or they could be right in the middle of the deepest, darkest part of their lives. And so I show you that, especially for those of you who may be from bigger classes or those of you who just, you're the nature of your class. Maybe I think, you know, you can see this a lot in singles ministry classes. You just get a lot of people popping in different times. Everybody's got something. Your class is just a gold mine waiting to be mined for stories. You know, and I'll say, let me tell you this. I grew up in the suburbs here in Houston, in Baytown, small Presbyterian church. Mom and Dad were at the church every single week. We were, you know, Dad was chairman of this and head of that, and Mom was in the choir. And life was boring and suburban, and nothing bad ever happened to us. Ever. Ever, not once. I had everything I ever wanted, everything I ever needed. And life wasn't hard until I was 30. Nope, 40. Hold on. I'm doing some math. Until I was about 40, and Mom was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. Nothing prior to that could I say was bad. To the point that, like, you start to wear guilt, you know? Like, everybody else has lost a loved one. I never lost a loved one. And my grandmothers died because they were old, you know? And it was painless. And so I felt like for a long time I didn't even have a story. I was like this cookie-cutter white kid from the suburbs who, I got nothing to share. But along comes my mother's diagnosis. And about 2 years after that, my son was diagnosed with leukemia. And about a year before that, my wife and I had a miscarriage. And in the middle of fighting leukemia, I decided to adopt my son with leukemia because he was actually my wife's child from a previous marriage. It was a step-parent adoption. And there was some, I totaled my car in there somewhere, too. There was about 5 years of, what in the world? And this was all within the first 5 years of marriage. So I went from boring, 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 boring to become a dad, become a husband, go through adoption with a creepy biological father who's still in town and is not a citizen and could be a flight risk, and leukemia is here, and Alzheimer's is here, and a miscarriage is here, and what? So suddenly I had stories. I suddenly had a life that I felt like, okay, this is God working, you know? And it really kind of started to impress upon me that, you know, people can learn from this. I can't just have a pity party about it. I can't do that because what does the Bible tell us to do? The Bible is over and over again. You can see it. Just examples of the Bible telling us to speak up, to speak out, to share, to tell. It's as if, you know, the Christian, the Bible just calls believers to be storytellers, you know, to share, to be honest, not to share with what, you know, to proclaim, be witnesses, unable to stop speaking. And of course, the, you know, famous one from Revelation about the word of their testimony and the blood of the Lamb, we overcame the devil. And so there's such a calling throughout Scripture for us to tell stories. And I think that's not simply our salvation story. I think we often go to that, and that's important. It's vitally important to know your salvation story, to be able to articulate that, to be able to share that with a non-believer and with believers about how you came to the faith, about how you went from darkness to light, about how you went from death to life. You got to know that. And I'm not going to tell you how to do that because smarter people have put that together in a pretty little book for you to take. And if I can grab some on your way out if you don't already have that. So the Bible tells us to tell stories. But what is a story? Well, a story is more than an update or a report. You know, I think about, you know,
I'm just thinking about my experience in live Bible studies or small groups or things, and there's always going to be a time when someone just gives a quick update, you know? Hey, everybody, I went to that interview and I got the job. Yay! Susie, we love you. Awesome, gang. That's great. Of course, there's time and a place for that, right? It's a story has an intent and a purpose. You know, think about a story. Think about, you know, if you were a screenwriter or a playwright, making a movie, making a theatrical production. You know, you don't just sit down. I've never written one. I'm going to imagine. You don't just sit down and start writing like, well, I wonder where this is going to go, you know? Now, I've seen some movies that felt like that. You know, like, what is the point, you know? They kind of go into it with, there's a theme they want to play up. There's a story. There's some sort of a point they want to make. They want to get across, right? So they go into it intentionally. They sit down. Someone sets out to make a movie intentionally. Someone sets out to write a play or a book intentionally. They just kind of stumble into writing one of those. And so a story has intent. You're telling it. You're purposefully telling it. And it has a purpose. There's some objective you're going toward. I want to tell this story. I want to say these words, write these words, present these steps, these actions, these things that happened or transpired in my life. I want to tell this thing so that blank. I want to tell these things in order to blank. It has a purpose. Not just, and we'll get to this, it's not, the purpose is not to pat yourself on the back. The purpose is not to brag. The purpose is going to be a lot deeper than that. It has an impact on the listener. You know, if just go back to the movies and the plays and the books. Anybody who sets out to do one of those things, I'm sure their hope, beyond the money, is that that piece of art, that creation of theirs, has an impact. It leaves a lasting impression. It calls somebody to action. It makes them see the world a different way. It makes them see themselves a different way. It makes them see people a different way. It has some sort of an impact beyond just sheer entertainment. Now, that may be a part of it, but beyond just sheer entertainment, it has some sort of a lasting impact on the person receiving that story. And finally, in our context, what is a story? It's something that it reveals God at work in your life. You can say all you want about the Lord being the Lord of your life. And say it. Go back to the other slide. You know, it says to tell people that. It's a hard thing to understand for some folks, right? If they don't already know Jesus, they don't know the Lord, to say those church words, to back off from church jargon, and I'll tell you that in my role as the communication director here, it's almost one of those, like, it's a daily filter, and we drop the ball all the time, but it's a daily filter of, okay, are the words we're writing, are the way we're saying things, is it jargon, is it churchy,
Christianese.
Is it Christianese? I hope that it's not. I wanted to glorify God, but, you know, our stance is the people who are here and are kind of plugged in, already kind of a part of the mix, they get it. I don't need to really convince them of certain things. It's the folks who are here but maybe aren't quite, they're still kind of checking it out, you know, or the people that you awesome members might give something to from church, you know. I want to make sure that whatever we write kind of, you know, reaches them and speaks to them. It's not jargony. So in the same way, you know, we can say all we want, you know, and use about the Lord is the Lord of my life. He's been my king, you know, since age 14. And you can say all those words and they're true and they're powerful and praise the Lord for them. How does that translate over to somebody who isn't there yet? It's hard. Can it? Yes. Absolutely. As the Spirit moves, absolutely. But telling a story is a way to just illustrate God at work in our lives. And you'll see in a minute for those who are teachers as how it can be a tool in your life. Let me share this one quote with you. He has no idea I'm doing this, but he won't mind. Adam Mason, our minister of counseling services, has this amazing quote talking about stories. Help people find God in the midst of their story, and it will move from a tragedy to a romance. Now, he said it. I'll tell you where he said it. There's a book I'm going to recommend, and I'm in a group here in town of like church communicators, and we invited this author to come to present this book. And Adam came to it, which I was thrilled because he's not a church communicator, but he came to it. Awesome. And so Adam was like at another table, and this guy was talking about stories, and Adam raised his hand and said this and a couple other things. I mean, the room was like, you could hear a pin drop. It was like one of those truth bombs that were just like, boom, you know, and after the silence kind of rested for a while, I was like, he's one of ours. He's from my church. He's awesome. Help people find God in the midst of their story, and it will move from a tragedy to a romance. Just think about something in your life right now. I mean, not in the moment, but something from your life. You know, a tragedy you've been through. How does you find God in the middle of it? Let me give you the example of my son, my oldest son with leukemia. He, by the way, he's been in remission for 3.5 years, so he's good. But keep praying. Let me just give you his diagnosis story, okay? He, last day of third grade was a Friday. That Saturday, we went to the neighborhood pool, and he pulled a groin muscle. Sunday, it still hurt. Monday was Memorial Day, and it still hurt. So Tuesday, my wife took him to the doctor because it still hurt. Like, maybe he injured himself more than just a goofy kid playing in the pool type injury, you know? So she took him to the doctor. And our pediatrician was at jury duty, so it was some unknown pediatrician we hadn't seen before fill in, and she checked him out, and he was fine. It was just a groin pull. It was fine. But then my wife pointed out some little red dots on his chest, and the doctor took a look, and she paused. But she kind of felt his spleen, wherever that is, somewhere around here. It's an organ. Somewhere. My oldest brother is a doctor. I'm the communication major. So... he felt something, and she said, you need to take him to the ER at Texas Children's. What? So my wife calls and tells me, and so I just shut down and get in the car and I fly to the ER at Texas Children's and meet him there, and my blood cells count was low, and they floated the C word, and I got on the phone with my brother, the doctor, who, by the way, is a pediatric oncologist. And he's in Fort Worth, and he did his residency at Texas Children's. So he makes a phone call to their top pediatric oncologists and says, incoming, because they take Braden by ambulance, which was really a little over the top, to the main campus. So really, with the, I mean, the sirens weren't even on. Why bother with the ambulance? I mean, and where, how much was that on the bill is what I'm wondering. And so he gets in, diagnosed, he has leukemia. Tragic. Tragic. But back up. Praise the Lord for that groin pull. We would never have taken him in. Praise the Lord for jury duty, because our pediatrician, mind-numbingly cautious, or not, I mean, that's the wrong word, a little bit like, just take 2 aspirin, it'll be fine. To this day, I will tell you, if she had been there, they would never have caught it. I know without a fact that if our normal pediatrician had been there, she would not have thought twice about those little red dots. The fact that my brother is a pediatric, actually he's a pediatric neuro-oncologist, just to raise the bar a little bit more. He's a pediatric oncologist who did his residency at Texas Children's, so he has connections with all their doctors. And bigger picture, the fact that my wife, as a single mom, would have married me, who happened to have a brother, who's a pediatric oncologist from Texas Children's. All these things, like, unfolded, like, within a 24-hour period. That's a romance. It's a romance because it's God pursuing my son. Gosh. How easy it could be to sit back and just, oh, then this, then this, then this. But no, on the way he just moved and allowed so many, y'all, let me tell you, they think that he may have had leukemia for 2 weeks when he was diagnosed. Based on the amount of white cells or blah, 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 whatever that means. I still don't fully understand it. But
very short time.
What in the world? Who does that? Who catches it that quick?
Yeah.
Find God in the midst of your story, and he'll turn from a tragedy. So I love telling that story. I love telling that story because it's God's way of showing off. I mean, it's a way to show off, you know, the Lord just moving in those little detail things of your life. A groin pull in the pool. A groin pull in the pool. Saved his life. Saved his life. So I love what Adam says here. Adam also says this. I don't give him credit on this slide, but it goes with this. As we tell stories, and we're going to get into a little bit more about what, again, that looks like, but I want to kind of put this slide up here first so your mind doesn't chase, doesn't go down a different path before we start talking about it. A word of caution. Our culture elevates self. Everybody's got a blog, and everybody's got something to say. You know, Facebook, the whole thing, you know, is meant to tell others about you, yourself. Twitter, Instagram, all the social media platforms, you know, celebrities, you know, and those social media platforms and internet only elevate even more the ability for celebrities' involvement with self to be, you know, propagated everywhere. So our culture just elevates self a lot. And so, you know, the thing that Adam really advises or watches, you know, wants to be cautious for is moving from self-obsession to God-obsession. We've all heard people tell their stories, well-meaning, absolutely well-meaning. They may not even know that they're doing it. But they get up and they tell their stories, and there's just so much I. It's subconscious. You don't even think about it. But it's so insular in looking at what I went through, what I felt, what I did, what I experienced. And where's God in it? Being able to step out of that and seeing God in the midst of it. Right? Being able to step out of that and say, okay, what's the story that's being told here? There's a book, I didn't bring it. There's a book called Epic by John Eldridge. He wrote Wild at Heart many, many years ago. The book was all the rage, and every man in America read it. And then he wrote this little book called Epic, and it's one of those little tiny books. And it's fascinating because the whole premise of it is how we're just a part of this epic story. This, for all eternity, massive, sweeping story of pursuit and romance and God wanting to restore a relationship with us is just a beautiful thing, and how we're just a little tiny part of it, not only just in time, but how each of us is such a little reflection of that, right? And so in our culture, as leaders in your classes, wherever you might be wanting to use stories, keeping that mindset of, okay, this isn't just a chance for someone to stand up and, you know, have a whole big, you know, I. Not too long ago, I was in a meeting where we're all supposed to, you know, kind of each week, each person shared a testimony. And this one guy literally was, you know, like, okay, 3 minutes, share your story. Like, 30 minutes later, still going, it was a ramble fest of I, this happened to me, this happened to me, this happened to me, this happened to me. Where, okay, redeem this real quick, somebody, you know, I can go, where's it going to turn? Finding God in it, you know, turning things to God. So there's a bit of caution there. And then finally, like that last line, let God be the hero. You know, let God be the, he's somewhere in that story. He's in your life. Find it. And let God be the hero. So, you know, as we share stories, it's not just a longer version of a Facebook post. It's not just, you know, someone reading a blog post about themselves. So there's just a word of caution there. Now, let's talk about elements of a story. You know, all of us, English 101 or even just English high school, we all know that different elements of a story, and there's varying lists. See, I don't have setting on there. I don't have plot. I don't have narrator, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, kind of some basic elements of a story. So think about, let's go back to that story of my son. His name's Braden. So think about his story or our story. So the character there would be, you know, Braden. I could tell, or my whole family, you know, talk about what we went through, what he's gone through, what my wife and I went through when he was diagnosed. The objective of the story, obviously, was finding, just healing him, you know, getting him, you know, the objective as any parent is to care for your child, to care for your son, to protect them, to provide for them. And so that's kind of the objective that we as parents wanted for our son. Every parent does. But there was conflict, and the conflict, one, the conflict was the leukemia. One, the conflict was kind of just the unknown. The conflict was, fortunately, in Houston, access isn't a problem. but there's that conflict, you know, of, you know, we had been married. When that happened, we had been married 4 years, so we were still relatively newlyweds. It'll be 8 years next week. So there was obvious conflict there, and if you remember anything from your English classes, there's conflict with self, conflict with God, conflict with nature, conflict with others, all those sorts of things. So there's all sorts of different conflict there, things just out of our control with cancer. And then resolution, and I can look at, yeah, I could go straight to him being in remission, but I could also, resolution could be just how the Lord provided, right? How the Lord just set up all those different things to fall into place. And all the things that happened throughout his treatment in the years since then. I mean, so many different stories I could tell you about medicines being made available, and there's one pill he's on now that... It's supposed to be $10,000 a month, and it's costing us $50. So that's awesome.
Yeah, big time.
Within the first 6 months of treatment, then you get the bill from the hospital, and it shows like what really it shows like the value of the treatment you've received, right? Not what you owe, but you know, total. Here's what a bill, and here's what you owe. Within the first 6 months, that total value is over $500,000. And so, you know, there's some conflict there. Like, you know, even just our portion of that. But there's so much there, you know, I could think about just God loving him so much to provide for him like he's provided over the time. Now you think about your life, think about... any character, you know, you as the character, your family as a character, your child as a character, and what, you know, objective did you have, what goal did you have, and then some sort of a conflict comes along and prevents that, you know. In a marriage, your goal, your objective is to have a happy marriage, have a strong, healthy marriage. That's the objective, that's what you want, but the conflict comes along, something intervenes, you know, there's unfaithfulness, or there's just bad communication, or there's illness, or there's something comes along that just rattles you, that just gets you off that path. But then there's resolution. Or you may not be there yet, but maybe you can sit back and see God working on that resolution. You can see God providing for you in some sort of way. So there's these elements of a story, you know, it's beyond just an update. It's more than just, hey, I went to the interview and I got the job. That's awesome. We praise you. We praise the Lord for that. We celebrate with you. But to get to a story where people can see God at work, they got to kind of see it from all the different angles. If your story is going to be a tool to let others see and experience and know what God's like, bringing all that in so they can kind of get a snapshot of, wow, God does care about us. God does intervene in the lives of these little ants crawling all over earth. The God of the universe does care right now about my son's health. Using stories in class, this is where I get really excited about it. So you may have seen in recent years, it kind of started with Mission 1-8. We started doing a large format of the weekly guide about once a month. And then when Mission 1-8 culminated, last March. We started doing, we kept up with the large weekly guides once a month, but we still kept doing stories, and we switched to doing about three stories a month. Three stories plus one story about generosity, somebody's giving story. And if you've been reading these, if you follow along with these, we use them as a tool. We're using these stories as a tool to move people towards something. Let me see. I'm just going to pick one up here. This one has this. What was her name? I'm getting old. Look at me. Don't laugh, David Wilburn. Laura Kearns. Here on the cover, her story was that she did not know Jesus, but she had she took her dog to a dog park, and she may have been there with a girlfriend of hers, or I don't remember, but some single dudes, they just were there at the dog park, and they ended up inviting her to church. And so she came to church, and she started coming to a Life Bible study here, and then their class was going to Celebration. And so they invited her to go with them, like as a group, to Celebration. And it was at Celebration that she gave her life to the Lord. Yeah. And so this was from our November 1st edition. And so we wanted to tell that story to point people to embrace Celebration as a ministry tool. So we were using it, moving the class, the church, toward a change, toward an action, towards something. You know, inside, another story here was about, the Porter family. I can't even begin to give a synopsis of their story. It is so amazing about this child they adopted, and he was special needs, and it's unreal, this story of how he came into their life. And so we're pointing them, people, to the special needs ministry. We want to kind of give life to, and here's like a story, like what some of these special needs families are going through when they come to the table. Like they've been through so much. They have so much. It also, you know, talks about, I don't think with this story we talk about our adoption ministry. We may have mentioned it in the article. I don't recall. But then this story here is about a couple, reminding me of their names. Here we go. The Mizells, young couple. But they serve as volunteers in the counseling center with the financial counseling. And so they do free, our counseling center provides free financial counseling, by the way, P.S., if you didn't know. You would have known if you'd read the article. but, you know, we know the church knows what a burden finances can be on people. It could be daunting, it could be overwhelming. And so, like, as the church champions generosity, like we have been, you know, we also want to help people, you know, like, I want to be generous, but I can't figure out, you know. And so they free financial counseling, and this young couple, they're rock solid. Like, they developed those habits and skills when they were young. And so they just want to give back. They want to help others. They know ultimately that it can help the kingdom. If people kind of, you know, how much financial stress puts on our lives. This isn't a way for the church to get more money out of you. You know, it's not that. But what an unbelievably just life-zapping burden finances could be. And if people get that figured out, how much more free they'd feel, how much more healthier they'd feel and alive they'd feel. So, you know, that's just one issue. And then we have another one here. This was this story here about John and Jennifer Fisher. You've heard about the IMB having to cut back missionaries because of financial matters with the organization. Well, John and Jennifer Fisher are here at the church, and they're one of those couples. They were 16 years in China, and they were brought back off the field because of financial problems and IMB, not their financial problems, but the IMBs. And so we ran that story pointing people toward the World Mission Offering. Like, hey, y'all, this does have an impact as we give. You know, it makes a difference. And so we use stories to point people to things that are coming up, things we want people to be generous. And here's a story of someone sharing, you know, it was hard, but I made it a priority, and now here's what's come of it. And so using stories in your class as a tool for moving them toward a change. It can be something that augments the lesson for sure. If you're going through a series on, I don't know, pick a topic. If you're going through a series on relationships, you're going through a series on
spiritual disciplines, whatever it might be, whatever you're talking about, you know, finding stories that illustrate that and helps them, it kind of gives them a not a role model, but at least an example. Like, oh, it can be done. It can. This is a real thing. My teacher's not just saying me to tell me to do something. That's who's ever going to do that? Here's an example of something. Using stories in class, working together to identify topics and leads, and that's kind of what these touched on. My team and I will sit down and look at the calendar and like what's coming up. You know, so like this January edition here, we focus on the fitness center because everybody has great intentions, right? And we have the fitness expo. This middle article here was all about life Bible study leadership, because tonight, pointing people to that. And then this article here was about a couple that's hitting up our faith center down in our new Harmon location. So we wanted people to be aware of that because they're new and they're starting. We want to move people there to volunteer and to serve. And so, you know, working together with your class leadership, with your teachers, where are you going to be teaching about? Directors, if they're, you know, if you're shepherding your class and you see kind of a need in your class, maybe for you know, better discipleship between the men and between the women. Maybe there's something you see in your class. However you're shepherding your class, look for stories and kind of work together to find how can we give an illustration from our class of that. You know, somewhere in here, what we want to happen class-wide, somewhere in here it's happening. Let's find it and let's amplify it. Let's find, how can we do this? Let's pull that out. And so it does take working together. There are times, you know, we've got several stories kind of backed up. You know, we have some people that I know, I've been at the church long enough. I've been here since 98, so I've been around long enough to know of some stories. And now that's not gossip if you're using it for Jesus. But I know of some stories, right? I've had the, you know, like, man, I've heard about that guy, or I've seen this, or I've heard. And so, you know, a lot of the stories that we've run, I really try to make them not about just people I know. And so I will send a message out to, you know, the staff, like, hey, we're looking for this. And they sort of know when they come across a great story, they'll just shoot me an idea. And we keep a log, I got a Google Doc of possible stories to run, and like, you know, we're kind of thinking ahead, you know, to future months, what stories do we want to run when, and trying to be just strategic about that. And so, you know, you can drop in a story that's completely unrelated. If there's just a great story to tell, go for it. But there's so much power if you can use that as something to point people in the direction you want them to go, call them to some sort of an action. And then finally, prepare and pray with the storyteller. For most of you, you know, in your life Bible study, it's going to be a moment of somebody standing up in front and telling their story. Most likely is how you're going to do it. Either in class, maybe in a small group during the week, maybe your class gets together for like a praise and worship night or something like that, you know, whatever it might be. But it's going to involve them standing up, sitting around, telling their story. Giving people a live mic is horrifying. Right? I mean, it gives me the heebie-jeebies. Like, just, oh, this could be so awkward, like a third grade talent show, right? You're like, you're cute, but oh my God. killing. And some people just, you know, some people will nail it. Some people, though, need a lot of help. Not just because they can't speak, but because you got to help them find their story. You know, you may know what somebody's gone through. You've got a general idea. You've spoken to them about it before. They've shared it, you know, in other settings. But to kind of sit down and help them prepare, have a conversation with them, help them find God in the midst of it. Help them find God in that tragedy. Help them, you know, any one of our stories, so multifaceted, they don't have to share every little bit of the story. It may not be relevant, but you know, what part of that story is something that our class could benefit from? What part of that story is going to point people to the aspect of God that we're really emphasizing? You know, if we're talking about, you know, the God's grace, let's say your lesson, you're going through a series on God's grace,
You know, is there a story in there that where his grace just came shining through in that person's life? You don't have to share every other aspect of it, but, you know, pull that out, you know, and kind of help them prepare that. These stories that I do not write these. A member of my team, Susan Murphy, writes these. Murphy, not Murray. We're not related. Two different names. Susan Murphy writes these, and she's fantastic at it. She's brilliant. And each one of these stories could be like 5 pages longer than it is. She will spend an hour or more on the phone talking to these people, just pulling it out, finding the story, just asking the right questions, you know, gathering all the things that happen, and then boiling it down. She sits there and boils it down to, how do we make this come alive and point people to God, point people to, you know, how they can be involved, point people to how they can be a part of this church, point people to whatever it might be. So prepare and pray with the storyteller. And then give them the live mic and keep a tight handle on the cord. Right? Just in case. Just in case. Who's doing that? Who's using stories? Has anybody done this before? I mean, we've all had testimonies shared in classes, but I'm curious to hear, like, has anybody kind of gotten to this level with it and really kind of been intentional about finding people who've got something you know is going to be an illustration? Anybody done anything along these lines? Yes, sir.
I partner with the volleyball thing on Wednesday night. Mm-hmm. Give their stories. A lot of it's an outreach program, and so I grew up in church, and so my story is very different from these people I play volleyball with. But I bring in other people whose stories, like you've said, like you've heard, oh, this guy has a story that relates to this guy. Like, I really want him to hear this story.
Right.
So I'll bring him to do that.
That's great. And I think, you know, you said you're involved with intramurals. I just think back over the years of how many times, one of the stories, I don't think I have an issue with her in it, but there is a woman on our staff. I just gave away the punchline, darn it. When I was in the singles ministry, there was we had, you know, indoor volleyball, and there was a member of my class who came. She loved it. But she lived way up north, like in Porter. I mean, that is good grief, right? I mean, there are other churches that could go to, but welcome. I mean, that's...
This is a long
when I was a kid, I used to think you'd had to go to the church nearest you like you did schools. And so it always confused me, like, why we drove by so many churches on our way to our church. I felt like we were, like, breaking the rules, you know? Like, we got a pass on something. But she came in all the way from Porter, and so she didn't want to come by herself, so she drug her atheist friend with her. She drug her atheist friend with her to church. And her atheist friend came, and then we'd have indoor volleyball like on Sunday afternoons, and her atheist friend stuck around. Started to talk with people. And long story short, she accepted Jesus here. And she shared with, I'll never forget it, we were at our singles ministry's hoedown, and she came up to me at the hoedown, and she like had accepted Jesus like the 2 nights before or something like that. And she said that she had been molested as a child repeatedly and had never slept through the night her whole adult life. The night after she accepted Jesus, she slept through the night for the first time. She is now on our staff down the culinary department. She's like their admin. We did her story. Her name is Lori Smith. All because of intramurals. I mean, it all began with intramurals. There was a reason for her to be here, you know? And so, you know, she shared her story and just how, you know, God used indoor volleyball at a church 40 miles away to get her. Where's God? I mean, you see God in that? She had every reason in the world not to be here, you know? So what I want to say is, I want to ask you, I'm just curious to see, as you sit there and you hear this, you know, we only have like 1.5 teachers in here, I think. But this is not something that only the teachers should be doing. This is something the director should be looking for.
This is something small group leaders can be looking for. This is intramurals could be looking for, because there's a time when you gather to have a bit moment to share, right? There's, you can share a story, and y'all, they don't have to be 30 minutes. They don't have to be long. They don't have to have slides. It could be, someone could knock it out in 5 minutes and point people to God in their story. It's just being intentional. It's just telling what's happening in your life purposely, so that people will walk away getting a better understanding of who God is. Yes, sir.
In just a thought, yeah. I don't intentionally do that, but I always do a handout for the class I teach Wednesday night, and so I completely finished that. But that handout that I do, I actually call it the newbie notes. And so I'll type in red what the scripture speaks to me, because if it doesn't, I've got no right to even share the word, right? A lot of times in my red notes are memories, thoughts, parts of my story. Mm-hmm. But because I watched the clock, I didn't know I was going to speak, so I'm really enjoying some almonds. I watched the clock and know that if I got time to share this or not. Yeah. But then I would do a save of it, save as of that file, just title it notes, and delete all the red. But there are times people have told me later, that's what really inserted, you know, the dagger,
yeah,
the knife of truth,
yeah,
because of something that was real or authentic,
yeah,
though it wasn't my intent going into the class.
Right. Awesome. You look at anything that Apostle Paul writes, and he always talks, and not always, he uses the past tense so often. I was this. You were that. He was this. I love it because there's no pretense about that man. There's no walking in on Sunday and everybody's cleaned up and polished and smiling and pretending that they were born that way. I mean, yes, Ed.
In our LBS, we try to have a couple get up and give a capsule testimony. Mm-hmm. And we encourage it because it not only helps us get to know each other in class, it gives them an opportunity to talk about what God has done in their life, in their marriage, in their testimony of their faith or whatever. Right. And it's something that any department can use. They don't have to do it every Sunday. You do it as available, but you encourage it.
Right. And you know, one thing I didn't mention, but as directors, as life Bible study leaders, as teachers, your role to disciple and to minister to your class, having somebody tell their story is going to minister to them.
Definitely.
Because it's going to require them to find God in their story. It's going to require them to pause and think through, wow, I can see it now. You know, when you're in the middle of it, you may not see it. You need time, you need distance, you need a little bit of, wow, what? You know, it can minister to them in such a big way just to have them tell their story.
Yes.
There are two books. If you want to kind of dive into this a little bit more, because I know I gave a very broad brush about this whole thing. There's two books here that I would recommend. Where are they? Tell Me a Story by Scott McClellan. He was on staff at a church in Irving Bible Church. I don't know if he still is, but he was. He's the guy that we brought down to that session I told you about where Adam Mason was and dropped that amazing truth bomb on us. So Tell Me a Story by Scott McClellan. That is not the CEO of HEB, by the way. Scott McClellan is the CEO of HEB. Scott McClellan, with no D, is the author of this book. Because I Googled it and I was getting real confused. So Tell Me a Story. And this other one here is The Art of Storytelling: Easy Steps to Presenting an Unforgettable Story by John Walsh. And both of these guys are Christian. Just
great little books, just with some steps on it. And even this, this gets more into like Bible storytelling, or, you know, just bringing Bible stories to life as well as your person. So there's just great little resources for you if you want to look into that more for yourself, or as you maybe try to coach or help people in your class. David, yes.
One thing, we all have the Chick-fil-A video that you showed earlier. We all have a story. But a lot of us don't think our stories are significant because it doesn't involve cancer or going on a medical mission and single-handedly wiping out Ebola in Liberia or whatever. You know, so, you know, it may be just a struggle with depression, or it may, you know, eating disorder or something. And I guarantee you, whatever your story is, someone in that room is going through something almost identical.
Yes.
Yep. And telling your story not only helps you grow to God and show how God's working in your life, it tells that other person that, you know, there's someone else that went through exactly the same thing. And automatically there's a connection there. Okay. And a relationship now has been built where it may have just been superficial before, and now there's an intimacy there that there wasn't before, all because you told a story that you didn't think was terribly important or wasn't, quote, you know, a big deal. But it is a big deal.
You look at that Revelation verse, we overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word. So wouldn't he want to shut us up and make us believe that our stories don't matter? The blood of the Lamb, done, deal. He can't overdo that. He can't, that's done. Yes?
Just a word of encouragement.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
From all those other things that could have happened prior to that.
Yeah, you're right.
So that in itself is a testimony.
And one of the things that, and thank you for reminding me of that, and I say this because I say this only because, especially younger folks, I want them to know that it's possible. But as a way of God protecting me, when I got married at age 38, I was a virgin. And a lot of people think, oh, that's not even doable. So, you know, they don't even try. And so, you know, I think that my little Pollyanna story is boring, but it points to, it is God, yes, it's possible. Carol.
In the class that I came from, his glory class, when Tim was the teacher, he had several of us give our testimony, and from that, one of the young girls, they moved now, but from her giving her testimony, which was just unbelievable, poverty, a jillion kids, moving around, not having enough to eat, dirt floors, you know. Anyway, a book, one of the ladies who heard it wrote a book, and she now has a little ministry now, back kind of where she came from. Going around talking and this really been able to help, you know, I can't think right now, but kind of has a little ministry that she can go and talk to people about what she went through and what.
That's great.
Anyway, you just never know what's going to come of that. And we're involved in Outback Texas, and the one that they have meetings on Tuesday night, and they're starting to have everybody that's involved go around and give their testimony. And even if you can't exactly identify with exactly what that person said, you're getting to know that person that you might not ever have had an opportunity to do it. And if, you know, if we talk about God's power, God's faithfulness, you know, it's going to bless people, and they're going to see, gosh, God, in your life, God can work this out in my life.
And speaking of Outback Texas, working on the February edition of the Weekly Guy, and we have a story on Outback. Because it's a weekend retreat for husbands and wives and for parents and teens, and we're doing a story on Outback Texas about how some families in the church made that thing happen. They're difference makers. They saw a need. They rose up, made it happen. And because the next one, it happens in April. And February is Valentine's Day. And so we've got this story about this marriage retreat and about how, you know, marriage takes work. It's not just roses and chocolates, and point people to this retreat. You know, being intentional about telling a story
to point people to something that you want them to do or take advantage of. So thank y'all very much.
Okay, I'm going to give this because you were the first one to speak there. Share with your story. Put your phone number on there and put it in this part.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Stephen.
Appreciate it.
I don't say, oh, Lord, please get me out of it. I said, Lord, I expect to see your hand in it. Then I have a story.
You'll miss the story. You focus on the other side.
That's
you miss
it.
Them.
He knows what's going on. He has a plan and a purpose in it. And I don't want to miss it.
Right. Amen. Hello.
Can I get one of those booklets?
Oh, yes. Let me see. Let me go raid the closet.
Tommy, the guy that preached he's had the job that I've got now. He got married and
jacket is over here.